17th episode of the Radix Copycast. I'm Emily King, Radix's research and marketing executive, and today I'm joined by Fiona Campbell-Howes, Radix's managing director and lead copywriter.
Hello.
We're also joined by Matt Godfrey, director and senior copywriter here at Radix.
Hello.
In this episode, we're going to be looking at something that's always been a thorny issue in copywriting, how to price the service we provide. So Fiona, why is pricing such a difficult issue in copywriting?
Yes, I think pricing is something that a lot of copywriters struggle with. And I think the main reason is because we have to assign a value to the work that we do up front when the client asks us for a quote without really knowing in advance how much value that piece of writing is going to deliver to the client's business. So I wrote a blog post recently in which I looked at a couple of examples of where the writing that I'd done had actually delivered a value to the client, and it actually varies wildly. So when I think about the number of pieces of copy I've written over the past 11 years as a copywriter, there's really only two occasions that we've actually been able to assign a real financial value to the work that I've done. So the first one of those was when I wrote an article for a financial services client. This article got placed by a PR agency in a financial services magazine in New York. And a chief risk officer at a big bank happened to be reading this article when, by some massively lucky chance, a salesperson from my client rang him and he said, well, I've just been reading about you in this magazine. I think we should get you in to talk. So eventually the salesperson went in to talk to this guy and that ended up in a $2 million deal. So, I mean, I like to think that on that day, the 800 words that I'd written for that article were worth $2 million. And then the second example is something that happened more recently when I was chatting to a salesperson at one of my clients to get some background on a new case study I was going to write to get some background on that customer. And I happened to say to him, well, how did this customer come across you in the first place? Because it was a customer from a different sector, from the sector they normally sell to. And he said, oh, they read that case study of this different customer on our website. They thought that was really compelling and they got in touch. So that had been a case study that I had written. And that case study and that contact that the client had led to a, I think, £14,000 consulting engagement. So that case study, for which our client paid considerably less than £14,000, had that return on investment, which not only paid for the original case study, but I think paid for every single other piece of copy we've ever written for that client. So I think that's another really good example of the kind of business value that copy can provide, but that's really difficult to establish up front. But it's really rare that we have these examples of how valuable our copy is. So we can't really assign a value to them based on how valuable we think they're going to be to the client. We have to assign a cost to them, which makes it more into a commodity, even though it might potentially have a value far above what we assign to it.
So why don't marketers view copy in terms of its value?
I think it's largely because historically it's been very difficult to measure the financial impact of copy itself. And even now with marketing automation, you can measure the number of leads that are generated by a particular piece of content. But once those leads go through to sales, often that measurement falls away from the marketer's point of view. So establishing exactly how much money was made as the result of a piece of copy being written is a really tricky thing to do. However, with marketing automation now, at least we do have the opportunity to look at some sort of results-based system. So we could conceivably consider results-based pricing for some forms of copy.
So would we as copywriters consider results-based pricing?
And I think it's quite an interesting question because there's a lot of talk generally in the marketing industry at the moment about moving to results-based pricing, especially as Matt says now, there's these new marketing automation systems that can really track the performance of each campaign and of each asset. And it's something that I certainly have considered, and I think it would be possible for some forms of copywriting. So for example, where the results are kind of really clear and really easy to measure and really transparent. So for example, we do write quite a lot of awards entries for clients, and that's something where you can actually really easily measure the outcome. I mean, you either you're shortlisted for the award or you're a runner-up or you win the award. And I know that there are quite a few copywriters out there who do offer results-based pricing specifically for awards entries. I mean, I guess the issue there is that you're writing the award entry months in advance of the award itself, so you'd be writing based on the fact that you might get paid or you might not get paid in several months' time, which is quite a difficult way to run a business when you actually have copywriters in-house and you have to pay their salaries every month like we do. And there's other projects that we've worked on. For example, we've worked with one client on creating a set of bespoke account-based marketing reports that were going to individual organisations as a kind of door opener to set up a sales appointment. And there it's generally fairly clear from the number of sales appointments that were generated how well the copy that we wrote did. So there are occasions where I think we could consider doing results-based pricing. But for the bulk of the work that we do, I think it's something that's far too difficult for us to implement. So, for example, we write a lot of top-of-the-funnel material, so material designed to generate awareness or interest, and that is really difficult to follow through to any kind of conclusion. So if you're writing a top-of-the-funnel ebook, it may be months before that leads to a sale because the buying cycles in technology are so long, technology where we operate. And also, if you're looking at something like an ebook, and our clients would probably rightly argue that it's not just the copy that had the results, but it's the whole mixture of the copy, the design, the distribution platform, the time of day that it was promoted. So there's a whole load of things in the marketing mix that might have led to that financial result at the end of the day. And you can't really say that it was the copy that generated the value. So while the marketing agencies that bring all those elements together can probably legitimately charge their clients based on results, and I think we as copywriters are so far back in the chain and there are so many other elements in the mix that it would be difficult for us to point to our copy and say that was the thing that generated the sale at the end of the day. The only thing that I think could possibly be an exception is email subject lines, where you're really only looking at a line of copy and email subject lines lead directly to email open rates. So we could say to our clients, well, look, if we achieve an open rate of 50, 60% for you, we'll charge you based on that result rather than based on how much we would generally charge you to write the email in the subject line. But, you know, an email open is only an email open, and then there's a whole load of things after that. So the person has to click through, they have to download the asset, then they have to kind of enter the marketing automation system. So I doubt that our clients would really want to compensate us based on the amount of email opens we generated for them, because that's not really what delivers value.
So what does all this mean for copywriters, Matt?
What it means, I guess, in a nutshell, is that as copywriters, we do it kind of has to be priced as a commodity in a lot of ways. Either, you know, people charge by the word or by the hour or however that might be. The problem with that, of course, is it steers it away from being a value-added activity. And what you get is a lot of copywriters who are willing to write about anything very cheaply to undercut each other. And really, as our clients know, just stringing together 300 SEO keywords isn't copywriting. That's not content creation, and it's not going to get the results you need. It will get content on your site, but of course it will. But once people have been lured in by the SEO and they realise the content you put together is not worthwhile, it's only ever brand damaging. So it's often tempting for marketers to go for a cheap option in order to get things done, to make the most of their budgets. So it's up to us as copywriters to demonstrate that we're providing more value than that. That, you know, if we want to make a living out of this and produce good quality work that's valued and that gets results, we need to demonstrate that we're adding some value.
I think that's right. And I think that sometimes if you're using an hourly rate or a daily rate, that can also sometimes be a bit of a red herring, because I know a lot of copywriters, we do ourselves base their quotes on an hourly rate that they set for themselves. But that doesn't mean that somebody with a cheaper hourly rate is going to be cheaper for the piece of copy that they're writing. I know, Matt, you've had some experience of this in some of the copywriters that you've had the joy of meeting.
That's right. And I've seen copywriters with low day rates charging a full day to write one email, whereas you'll find other copywriters with higher day rates who would charge considerably less time, maybe, you know, only a couple of hours to write that same email. So a day rate can be misleading in many cases.
Do you have any tips about how to go about demonstrating the value of your copy?
Yeah, so I think a couple of tips I would have are, firstly, to use your website. I'm sure every copywriter now has their own website. So to use your website or your blog to demonstrate the quality of the copy that you can write, and especially across a range of formats. So almost think of your website as a place to do your own kind of content marketing, so a place for you to showcase how well you can write across all different types of format that your clients might be asking you for. So not just writing blog posts, but also writing your own ebooks and hosting them on there, maybe writing slide shares to show that you understand that format and how it works, maybe using a sort of SME marketing automation or email marketing package to send out your own emails promoting your own copy, your own ebooks, your own downloads, so that you can show how well you write emails as well. So it's definitely using your own site to showcase your own writing expertise. And then another thing that works really well to demonstrate your value is to set yourself up as an expert or a specialist in a particular area. And that's something that you can really use to differentiate yourself from more generalist copywriters. And it's often something that sort of commands a premium price-wise. So if you can demonstrate that you're a specialist in a particular industry or a particular type of copywriting, so wrote a blog post recently about different types of copywriter there are in B2B where we operate. So you may be brilliant at coming up with headlines and straplines and really creative copy, or you may be brilliant at explaining really complex technical things really clearly to an audience, or you may be great at, this is going away now with Google's updates, but you may be great at SEO writing and getting very high in search rankings, or you may be a great technical writer, so that you really understand the kind of meat of your client's products and you can write really compelling technical copy that really clearly shows how something works and how you should use it. So if you can demonstrate that you've got a specialism in any particular area, that I think gives you the right to charge a premium for your services that other generalist copywriters might not be able to do.
That's right. I think also it's really important to get feedback from your clients about how your work's performing, because then you can see what's working, what's not. You can have a kind of almost develop your own culture of continuous improvement, so you're never standing still, and what's working will change constantly as well. So it's really important to get feedback all the time.
And I think if your clients allow it, you can also use some of those results to prove how well your copy performed. So, you know, if there's a particular campaign where you got loads of opens and click-throughs and downloads, if your client allows you to talk about that, then that's something you can use to promote how well your copy does.
That's right, and you can use that sort of testimonials on your website, or even produce full case studies, which again will be another opportunity for you to demonstrate your copywriting skills by producing your own case studies. Word of mouth recommendation is really important, so the more you engage with your clients over how the copy is performing them, the more you develop your skills and boost that performance, the more likely your clients are to recommend you to their colleagues, to their peers, to their friends who may be working in all sorts of businesses. They're also more likely to recommend you on LinkedIn, things like that. And all of that demonstrates to people who may not know you, it helps demonstrate that value. It's something tangible that they can look at when they're looking around for a good quality copywriter.
Well, that's all we've got time for in this episode of the Radix Copycast. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com, and you'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly e-newsletter for the latest copywriting tips and insights.